Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. You know, we as Christians can be glad even in times of suffering. Remember who we are, God's chosen people, to make known the wonderful things he has done and still does. The world sees God in our lives both individually and collectively as a body of believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable through God, through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become a capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Praise be to God.
Let's bow in prayer. Praise be to you, O God. We thank you for the Bible, your written word, your revelation to us. And Lord, I just pray that your spirit would be active upon me and upon those listening, that from this passage we would draw strength, encouragement, and support in being your disciples. Bless this time in Christ, we pray. Amen. Nancy had problems with the children's message. I'm having problems with the remote. So we're going to put Mark on the task up there. He did a great job at 8 o'clock, but you're going to load the second picture there, please. So from last Sunday, John 15 was the scripture, and it was a chapter in which Jesus makes use of the analogy of him being the vine and we, the disciples, being the branches, and how they had to remain connected together in order for the vine and the branches to bear fruit. It was illustrating the point that disciples need to remain connected to Jesus Christ. And that analogy of the vine and the branches then spoke to their ultimate purpose, bearing fruit. Illustrating the need for the disciples to bear fruit, and Jesus emphasized that task by saying we are to bear much fruit. This morning I want us to consider the teaching we've just read from 1 Peter chapter 2 as we live lives of being disciples of Jesus Christ. And so to do so this morning, we're going to work through a series of images on the screen that will highlight key points of the lesson. So image number 3, Peter on or in the water. We begin with a disciple named Peter. The disciple remembered for when, in faith, he stepped out of the boat when he saw Jesus walking towards them on the water. Peter stepped out in faith and he made his way to Jesus. And both at the same time, Jesus and Peter were walking on the water. And then Peter, he saw the wind around him taking his focus off Jesus, and he began to sink. And he cried out for help, and Jesus rescued him as he was sinking. In our reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, we draw upon the writing of this very same Peter, one of the original 12 disciples. He's also known as Simon Peter, and he's also called Cephas in the scriptures. In John 1, verse 42, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas." This short verse in the NIV includes a parenthetical note for the reader, stating that the name Cephas, when translated, means Peter. In the Greek, Peter is Petros, meaning rock. And Cephas is Kepa, which means rock. Peter and Cephas provide an intriguing play on words when in Matthew 16, verse 16, Peter declares that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds to Peter by saying, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." That's Peter. The next image is of the inner three. Peter is known as one of those inner three disciples. When there was a significant experience occurring in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus often pulled aside the inner three, Peter, James, and John. They were with Jesus at the Transfiguration. They were with him when Jesus was praying in the garden just prior to his arrest. It's this Peter who wrote 1 Peter, one of Jesus' original 12 disciples, one of the inner three. Peter is the one that's always mentioned first and in the listing of the 12 disciples in the four Gospels. It's Peter, the rock, who knew Jesus to be the Christ. As I thought about all that, what Peter has to write, what he has to offer, it's from firsthand knowledge of everything he saw and he witnessed and experienced. Therefore, I believe Peter's writing carries great weight in his teaching. And he begins to teach by living stones, which is the next image. Living stones. 1 Peter is a letter of encouragement. Anybody need that? Anybody need encouragement in your daily life? Well, that's 1 Peter. He's urging those early Christians to live for God in the midst of a society that is ignorant of the true God. Peter knew firsthand the difficulties involved in believing in and following Jesus Christ. Peter knew what it meant to have periods of life when a person's faith is strong, but he also knew what it meant to have periods of time in your life when faith is weak. The Bible reveals a very telling time when Peter's faith was weak at his three-time denial of knowing Jesus, soon after Jesus had been arrested. Maybe that low point in Peter's life of faith gives us some consolation for when we ourselves realize the times when our faith is or has been weak, when we might have been embarrassed to admit that we know Jesus, we love Jesus, we follow Jesus, worried about any repercussions that might come our way because of our faith in Christ. And if that's the case, if we don't get too down on ourselves for denying Jesus at certain points in our life, if we don't get down because we realize Peter the disciple, he had those very same moments too. And what was he known as? The Rock. Because he received the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ, he was continuing to be built into a spiritual house. He was drawing upon the strength that he had from Jesus Christ. And so Peter's strength of faith carried him through. And he writes about that in his letters. It was Peter on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended. There was Peter. When the crowds had questions, Peter stood up and he preached the word of God to the crowds. Recall what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to God, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." As you think about those words, there is tremendous power put forth and lifted up in those descriptive words of Peter, the living stone. You ever seen a stone that's alive? The living stone, the foundation of the church. Jesus was dead, but he arose. And so he is known as the living stone, the object that came back to life, Jesus Christ, the one crucified by the people who rejected him. They rejected him as the Son of God. They rejected him as the Messiah. They rejected him as the Savior. They rejected him and they despised him. But Jesus, the rejected one, was chosen by God. He was chosen by God to be the way for people to know the blessing of salvation. It's precious. As Peter writes, it's a precious gift of grace given through the precious Son of God, the one whom God loved. We know that through the Spirit's words when Jesus was baptized and when he was transfigured. And when a person comes to the living stone, coming to Jesus Christ, looking to him as Savior and Lord, there's a tie-in with Psalm 34, verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Peter knew the name, knew the word, the reality of shame when he denied knowing Jesus. But he didn't stop there. He came back to Christ and he looked to Christ and he's radiant. When someone comes to Christ, they are blessed with the radiance of Christ. And their lives know the light that Christ brings to a world of darkness. It's the light of God's word, the hope and promise of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Now, I was blessed with something. I was given a gift right before 10:30 service from our youngest office worker. Tuesdays and Thursday mornings before 8 o'clock even comes, we have a young office worker. Somehow she gets camped in the nursery for a few moments, and I'm printing something. She taped this very well. Whenever I print something off of the copier, she gets up out of her chair across the hall, runs over, asks her mom, is this for, and she gets to bring me whatever I copied. And so she's our youngest office volunteer. And she gave this to me before service for Lynn and I. And inside is, she colored Mickey and Minnie Mouse and put a sticker on there, the storm, and says, you're looking good. I've never been called that in my life. But she put it in an envelope, you know, another piece of paper. And stamped in red is Radiant Heart. Radiant Heart. Those who look to him are radiant. That is amazing to me how that ties together. Had to share that. Thank you, Allie. She in nursery? Yeah, okay. Thank her later. Now I got to get back to where I was. When a person comes to Christ, they're radiant, and the spiritual house of God is being built up, and it's a holy priesthood. The next slide is about a foundation stone. As Paul writes his letter, he draws upon Old Testament passages and Old Testament images. In verse 6, draws from Isaiah 28:16. I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. A sure foundation. Do you have a sure foundation in Northwest Ohio? My house has been there for a few decades, and my wife told me if I go back into my daughter's bedroom, there's a crack in the drywall. If you go outside, you can see that the foundation has dropped a little bit and the brick has got a problem out there. We're looking for a sure foundation. Archaeologists have uncovered various large foundation stones in the Middle East. And one large foundation stone in a quarry measured 69 feet long, 12 feet by 13 feet. A lot bigger than that, or that. That's a huge foundation stone, making for a sure foundation. A large foundation stone set at the corner of the rest of the building so that building could be built and last for generations. And that large foundation stone was immovable and it was unchangeable. Peter is making a connection in his use of the word stone in these verses. The living stone, Jesus Christ, is the sure foundation of faith, immovable and unchangeable. It's the truth of Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the foundation stone for those who believe. Which leads us to the next image, slide number 7, cornerstone. In this slide, you can see a picture of three different cornerstones. The one at the lower right, St. John's Evangelical Reformed Church, founded 1852. Everybody know where that's located? Not on the screen. It's at the northwest corner of this present building because 1855, 1875, 1914, 1956, the four dates that they dedicated, or the years they either dedicated or started the new church building. So this is the fourth one. That cornerstone is there. It's a nameplate. It's not the true cornerstone of the building, but it's there to name what the building is and when it was built and some of the history of the local congregation. The other two pictures display true places and purposes of a foundational cornerstone. The rest of the building will rest securely upon that cornerstone, described as precious because of its great meaning, its great purpose. As Peter writes of the chief cornerstone, he writes to the capstone. We remember how Jesus rose above his earthly rejection and he became the capstone, the cover over everything in faith. So Peter writes about the living stone, the foundation stone, the cornerstone, the capstone. And Jesus set forth as the foundation of the new temple. And that new temple is not a building, that new temple is us. It is the spiritual house of God that lives within all believers. And then to the last slide, the priesthood of all believers. Verses 9 and 10 offer a blessed word of encouragement for believers, linked together as disciples in the faith. Verse 9 underscores the never-ending, always ongoing character and permanence of the faith. Through Jesus Christ, God is continually building his disciples. He's continually building Christians. He's continually building the church. And he writes about a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. In the face of any opposition, never lose sight of the radiance of Jesus Christ. He writes to be in worship, to praise God, to praise the one who brings light to an oftentimes a dark and dreary world, a world of sin. And Peter is writing far more than an hour or so on Sunday mornings. It's to be a daily thing. It's to be an hourly thing, to worship. Whenever you experience one of those little acorns of thanksgiving, offer a prayer of thanks and praise to God. Worship. Burst out in song. Make sure you're checking around who's listening before you do that, depending upon how your voice sounds. Paul writes, declare the praises of him. Worship the Lord, praising him and thanking him for his grace being extended to us as a precious and holy child, a disciple of God. One summary that I came across of verses 9 and 10 described discipleship as a lifelong building program. Just as buildings under construction improve in its appearance as they near completion, the attitude and the behavior of disciples improves as they grow closer to completion, growing ever closer to the eternal reward of everlasting life. A major component of such grace, of such growth, is the full recognition of the grace and the mercy we receive from God through the costly sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The chosen and precious cornerstone laid in faith calls us to trust in him, to be Christ's disciples, always building our spiritual house, always building our spiritual house ever stronger through our worship and our prayer and our ministry. To God be the glory. Amen.
As Pastor Eric said, as disciples, Christ is and always will remain our foundation, our cornerstone, that we find salvation and strength and guidance in him alone. So I invite you to rise and sing our next hymn, Cornerstone.
Let us give out of the abundance that we have received. I invite the ushers forward at this time for our tithes and offerings. Pray. Faithful Father, thank you that you give us the gift of abundant, eternal life. Your generosity overflows to us. Everything we have is a gift from you. Accepting these offerings that we give back to you out of the abundant blessings you have given to us. Amen.
You were once people in darkness, now people of light. You were once not as people, but now you are as people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And now you're being sent out as his disciples, and we do so overflowing with thanksgiving and joy. I invite you to sing our closing hymn, Now Thank We All Our God.
Thank you.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that as through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have hope abundant. Amen.